Europe celebrates, sort of. Iran seizes British Marines. And two prominent people battle cancer. You're listening to Longitude. It's Wednesday, March 28th, 2007. I'm Darris McNeely. The European Union turned 50 last weekend. A good question to ask is, what will the next 50 years bring? European heads of state gathered in Berlin, and they celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Treaty of Rome last Sunday. In many ways, the EU has been a success. It's the largest trading bloc of nations and peoples in today's world. Its currency, the euro, trades today at a higher value than the U.S. dollar, though the dollar remains the world's reserve currency. Member nations have created a largely functioning trading bloc where borders have gone down and trade passes easily among the nations. You travel to Europe today, and you no longer show your passport as you speed between Germany and Holland and other countries. Perhaps the biggest success of the EU is the peace between the nations. Historically, Europe has torn itself apart through the centuries with political and religious wars. The last two major conflicts involved the whole world. That there's been a measure of peace for the past 62 years is due to many factors. First, there's NATO, and secondly, and probably most importantly, the United States' presence and its nuclear shield during the Cold War, which kept the Russian bear at bay. But there's also been a very strong desire on the part of well-meaning diplomats to bind the European nations together with trade and economic agreements, and it's worked after a fashion up to now. A recent article in the Financial Times had this to say: "No comparable organization has seen such a success. There is still a big queue of countries rattling the gates to get in, but it is also hard to think of any particular reason why Europeans should be suffused with joy as they contemplate another half-century of union. The EU is a maddeningly difficult thing to admire and sell. You would not design it this way if you were starting from scratch, yet even in arguably the world's worst crisis of its history, it still works." Well, Europe can be summed up now as a leaderless grouping of nations. There's no national leader that has the weight to bring together a unified approach to foreign policy, immigration, or military matters. When that leader comes along, we will see a radically different Europe. Wars have started over less. The March 23rd seizure of 15 British sailors and Marines by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Navy can be called many things, but spontaneous isn't one of them. It was another in a long series of tests of Western resolve that Iran has posed, and perhaps we are failing. Iran is cleverly and gradually escalating its war for control of the Middle East. In 1979, Iranian revolutionaries, and probably including a young Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, seized the American embassy in Tehran and held its staff hostage for 444 days. Diplomacy failed, so in April 1980, Jimmy Carter launched and personally micromanaged a failure of a military rescue mission in which eight Americans died in an aircraft at a collision place called Desert One. That failure and the ones to come taught Iran that it could provoke, even commit, acts of war without suffering any penalty. In the years since, it has either directly or through its terrorist proxies, such as Hezbollah, committed a long series of terrorist acts resulting in many American deaths. For over 20 years, Iran has lied to the UN Security Council about its nuclear programs, and instead of opening them to UN inspectors, Iran has dispersed its nuclear facilities and buried them in hardened sites to prevent destruction by airstrikes. This latest incident, the seizure of these British Marines, could quickly escalate into something bigger, thereby raising the stakes in a highly volatile situation. And finally, White House Press Secretary Tony Snow has learned his cancer has returned. Snow fought back colon cancer a few years ago, and now it has been found in his liver. This is tough for anyone. Snow is a very likable public figure. This is the second cancer announcement this week by a public figure. Elizabeth Edwards, the wife of presidential candidate John Edwards, last week discovered that cancer, which had first appeared as breast cancer, has now returned in her bones. Our heart goes out to both these people. It reminds me of a psalm, and the fragility of life is expressed in Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6. Let me read it. "Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He reaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. We should all be reminded of the vaporous fragility of life. Make the most of the time we have. We have to ask when we all will learn the really important lessons of life. It may be trite, but nonetheless it's true. Carpe diem. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.